Good morning, everyone. Why are you Catholic? I mean, for most people here, it's because you were baptized into this faith as infant, which is not a bad thing, by the way. That's a great gift. It's a huge gift. The problem is, though, unless we dive into the faith in a deeper way, we can end up just taking things for granted. That's why converts to the faith are so good for us. So a quick convert story for you. Just at the end of my time at Carroll, we were headed into the month of April, so the school year is almost finished. And a young man came to me in my office and he said, "Father Mark, I want to become Catholic." So a couple things. This young man hadn't been baptized into some other faith, right? I'd seen him at Mass because he was part of a sports team that we do Mass for occasionally, and I knew there was something going on in his heart, but it was April. Our RCIA program had started up in October, and we were less than a month away, or about a month away from Easter, and so every indication was that we should have a good conversation, and then I should say, okay, so let's keep talking and we'll wait until next year when our program for faith formation starts up in October and we'll get you a more complete catechesis. But I'm not stupid. And I know that God operates on timelines that are different than the programs that we set up. And I saw the desire and the intensity in this guy. And so instead of saying, no, wait, I said, "Why do you want to be Catholic?" Without hesitation, he said, "Because I believe that that is really Jesus at communion." I said, "Say that again. I believe that the Eucharist is Jesus." So we talked some more. And I told him, "Listen, because it's so late in the game here, I need to call Bishop Vedder. I need to ask him if he would give permission so we could move forward with sacraments for him." So I called Bishop. Bishop asked what this young man knew about the faith, so I recounted the conversation I just had with him. And then he said to me, real quickly, "Father Mark, can you teach this man the other essentials of the faith in a month?" I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "Then let's baptize him. If he believes the Eucharist is Jesus, he's ready." He believes the Eucharist is Jesus, he's ready. Friends, we can all learn a lot from the Eucharistic faith of that young man. And today's a perfect day to do so, because today we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus, also known as Corpus Christi. Jesus Christ is really, truly, substantially present in the Most Holy Eucharist. He makes himself present in what looks like bread and wine, and at one point was bread and wine, but it actually becomes his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. So the technical theological term is transubstantiation, that the substance of the bread and the wine is changed into the substance of Jesus' very body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, himself. But I also want to use another phrase that is familiar to Catholics. That is the real presence. That Jesus is really present. That real presence is the reason why I'm Catholic. It's certainly the reason why I'm a Catholic priest. It's the reason why all of us should have been chomping at the bit to get to Mass this morning, which I'm sure is the case for everyone here. That real presence is absolutely why we are the Catholic Church. What a gift, what a blessing. St. John Paul II, writing about the Eucharist, calls it the inestimabile donum. The inestimable gift, a gift that we could never value enough. And so it's ours at every Mass. However, discovered this. In 2019, the Pew Research Center, they did a survey. 7 in 10 Catholics who responded, so 69%, say they personally believe that during the Catholic Mass, the bread and wine used in communion are, quote, symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And just 1/3 of the respondents say they believe that, quote, during the Catholic Mass, the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus. So 7 out of 10 Catholics who responded say what we do on this altar is just symbolic. And only 3 out of 10 say that it's actually the body and blood of our Lord. Friends, that is a catastrophic failure on our part of handing on the faith to you. If Catholics in the pews don't understand that we really believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, then we have failed almost entirely. Because that's the main reason to be Catholic. Are the bread and the wine only symbols? That idea has been around for so long, including recently for us. So I don't know how many of you have heard of the great Catholic writer, but American author Flannery O'Connor, great Southern writer. She's fantastic. She knew this. So she tells a story. She was invited, as she kind of grew in her literary fame, she was invited to a dinner party in New York among high-minded literary types. And the hostess was a literati named Mary McCarthy, who was a former Catholic. And she knew O'Connor was still a devout Catholic. So she steered the dinner conversation toward the Eucharist. And Flannery O'Connor writes about it in one of her memoirs. She says this, "Well, toward the morning, the conversation turned on the Eucharist, which I, being the Catholic, was obviously supposed to defend. Mary said that when she was a child and received the host, she thought of it as the Holy Ghost, he being the most portable person of the Trinity. Now she thought of it as a symbol and implied that it was a pretty good one. I then said, in a very shaky voice, well, if it's a symbol, to hell with it. That was all the defense I was capable of making. But I realize now that this is all I will ever be able to say about it outside of a story, except that it is the center of existence for me. All the rest of life is expendable. It is the center of existence for me. All the rest of life is expendable." Brothers and sisters, there's a Catholic who knows her faith. Is the Eucharist a mystery? Yes. But it is also a mystery full of meaning, one that should be the center of existence for all of us. A mystery that makes everything else in life expendable. Is there more to say about it? Sure there is. So let me appeal to the greatest theologian of our tradition, St. Thomas Aquinas. He sums up our Eucharistic theology in one line, one line. So listen up. Verbum caro verbo, panem verum carnem efficit. Got it? Sweet. Let's move on. Okay, Latin. All right, but here it is. Watch this one line. The Word made flesh by his word makes true bread flesh. That's what happens at Mass. The Word made flesh, Jesus himself, by the power of his word, which is pronounced through the priest. It's Jesus himself, his word, taking true bread and making it flesh, taking what is wine and making it his blood. It's the power of his word that effects that change. And that word is all powerful. By the way, that word is the word that creates and sustains the universe. When God the Father created, he speaks creation into existence. Jesus is that word made flesh, who makes true bread by the power of his word, his own flesh. That's why we believe in the Eucharist. We just heard it in the gospel. Jesus says, "This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is my blood, which will be poured out for you." Was he speaking symbolically? No. With Flannery O'Connor, I'd say, if it's a symbol, to hell with it. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do something else on Sunday morning. But Jesus doesn't give us that symbolic interpretation as an option. Fellow Catholics, dust off your Bibles. Make sure you're in the Word every day, but every Catholic should know frontwards and backwards John chapter 6. Because in that passage, Jesus shows he is not speaking symbolically. It says this, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Passage goes on. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" You see, they know he is not speaking symbolically. They know he really means what he says. And just to eliminate any doubt, Jesus continues. Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you," which means pay attention. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." That's why we believe in the Eucharist. Does it challenge us? Does it push us? Of course it does. It looks like bread. It looks like wine. It tastes like bread. It tastes like wine. But Jesus is saying, "Trust me, I am doing something different." Listen, the same challenge that asks us to believe that what happens on that altar is actually Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that would be the same challenge if you were in Jerusalem or Galilee when Jesus walked the earth. That you would see that man and you would say, "That's God." It's the same faith. That's why, to my Protestant brothers and sisters, it's the same faith. You believe in Jesus as God, well, then believe what he says. "My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink." Back to St. Thomas Aquinas. Of course the Eucharist challenges us. The same hymn that he writes that includes the one line that sums up the Eucharistic theology of the church, he gives another great line. "Praestate fide supplementum, sensum defectui." Faith will supply the defect of the senses. Faith will supply. That faith is exactly what that young man at Carroll College shared with me. He had faith in the Eucharist before he knew anything about the teachings of the church, about this issue or that issue, the structure of the church. There was faith in his heart. That's a gift from God. It's a gift every one of us should ask for today. If you already have that faith, then you ask for a deeper faith, to fall more and more in love with Jesus. If you don't have that faith, you ask for it so that you would never miss Mass and that you would come to Mass ready to receive Jesus himself. What a gift to receive. What a danger to take it for granted. I'll leave you with this quote from St. Augustine. He said, "God in his omnipotence could not give more. In his wisdom knew not how to give more. In his riches had not more to give. than what he gives us in the Eucharist. Because it's Jesus himself. Now today, on the solemnity of Corpus Christi, we have a beautiful opportunity. At the end of this Mass, we're going to take our Lord in procession. His real presence. We'll grab the monstrance and we'll process. We'll do what was established in 1264 by Pope Urban IV. To honor this great solemnity, he started something that we've never stopped doing. On this solemnity, to take our Lord out of the church, to process with him around our church, and then to bring him back in. So stay around. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe it's new to you. Good. You need to know your tradition. You need to know the depth of faith that has been carried on for thousands of years, that depth of faith in the Eucharist. But also this, while we'll do that in a special way today, every Mass is a procession of the Eucharist, every single time. You know why? Because instead of putting Jesus in a monstrance and having servers and canopies and vestments, Jesus comes into your heart when you receive him from this altar. And then you're sent out. There's always a Eucharistic procession after every Catholic Mass. Jesus is brought out into the world. It's the whole point of being Catholic. This isn't a faith just for ourselves, just within these church walls. This is a faith that saves the world. And Jesus wants to involve you and me. So as we receive him today, let's receive him with great faith, with great gratitude, with great attention and awareness. And then we bring him to our brothers and sisters who aren't here, to people who need to know the love of God. We allow Jesus to make us living monstrances. We carry him. And as we do so, the world is saved. Friends, what a gift we have in the Eucharist. Praise be Jesus Christ, our Eucharistic Lord, now and forever. Amen.